However, since it is not experienced by them, they cannot fathom the depths of what they say. Now, this one hadith is one of those traditions by Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam when he explains yaqeen. We try to understand it. It's not based on experience, it's based on other people's experience when they try to explain these things. Now, Amir al-Mu'min says that al-yaqeen ala arba'i shu'ab. Yaqeen rests on four branches. Ala ghayat al-fahm, the depth of understanding. Wa ghamrat al-ilm, plunging in knowledge. Wa zahrat al-hukm, and flowering of judgment. Wa rawdat al-hilm, and garden of forbearance. Now, so whoever understands can explain all knowledge. And whoever explains all knowledge knows the paths of judgment. And whoever knows the paths of judgment would not go extreme in their affairs and lives among the people, that means lives among the people with forbearance, with tolerance, would not try to just show them off that this is what I have, you don't have, this is the experience I have. Now, what do you understand from this? Very difficult, isn't it? It's the symbolic language which is used. Now, let's try to approach this from one angle. Ghayatul fahm, the depth of understanding. This doesn't mean that you want to solve a sort of puzzle or a mathematical question or something like that. It is a fahm which comes through divine inspiration, isn't it? It's a different type of understanding. It's an understanding which gives rise to knowledge, which brings knowledge for you. Now, let me give you an example. Has anyone read the book, The Power of Now? The Power of Now. You have read it. Started reading it by Eckhart, what's the name? Eckhart Tolle, yeah. Now, I think he has experienced something, and that's very important. These things are experienced by different people, and they may not be Muslim. The only thing is that they have faith. Now, then the faith may lead them to other avenues of guidance. Now, he says something which our Orafa has been saying for a long time, and that is, you have to live in now and not in the past. And not in the future. Now, the Orafa or the Sufis, they have tried to innovate techniques to remove thoughts of past and future from their minds. This is what they call nafyul khawatir, removing everything which passes through the mind. Khawatir are those things which pass through the mind. Removing everything which passes through the mind. Because as soon as you want to sit and ponder and meditate about God, what you are is your mind and your heart is filled with the past memories and the future worries or plans. You see, when we stand for Salat, what happens? We just think about the past, think about the future, near future, further away future, far future, near past, far past. We are thinking about all these things. And then we think that we are actually the combination of these memories. This is what we are, our mind. Now, the Sufis have devised techniques to empty the mind from this. And they say, when you want to do dhikr, of dhikrullah, when you want to do effective dhikr, you have to first learn to empty yourself, to empty your mind from all these khawatir, these thoughts which come to your mind. Otherwise, the dhikr is futile. You are not going to learn anything from about God. You are not going to bring in or dig in, because we don't bring in anything. we dig in ourselves to find God, because it's through the heart which we find God. It's not from outside, it's from inside. And every sense perception that we gather, it goes inside, it gives us a feeling, and it helps us to dig in into our soul to find God. من عرف نفسه فقد عرف ربه. Now, this غايةُ الفهم comes when you have emptied yourself from past and future, and you are who you are now. Then you connect to the source of creation, to your own source, the source of your soul, the source. You connect to depth of your soul, actually. You free yourself from your mind and connect to your soul. And when you connect to your soul, then that yaqeen comes. Yaqeen comes in, because the only way of yaqeen is to rely on the source, which is the source of yaqeen, and that's the human soul. So, when you do this, when you have this depth of understanding comes from here, you understand the depth of connection of this world to God. You understand that. This is the only way you can understand it. Try this. Of course, in this Power of Now, I like the book because he introduces a technique which is very effective, probably more effective than many techniques which our Sufis have mentioned to do. Yeah, it's all what all meditation is about. However, of course, the aim of meditation may be different. The aim of meditation may be different, but meditation also should be somehow guided towards something, and that is why faith is important. Meditation without this type of faith and guidance would lead people astray. Okay? Now, look at this verse. وَكَذَلَكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَلَيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. We showed Ibrahim the malakut of heavens and the earth, so that he is from those with yaqeen, from muqaneen. Surah An'am. Yes. Now, how did God show? First of all, what is malakut? And secondly, how did God show that to Ibrahim? Did he take him somewhere to show him the malakut, so that he finds yaqeen? Or it was something, it was ghayatul fahm. It was depth of that understanding which came from the soul. Actually, Allah helped Ibrahim to dig in into his soul, to realize the depth of that connection. What is malakut? Higher realm. What's higher realm? You see, when we come to these terms, it's all sort of tautological. We go. It's metaphysical, isn't it? Now, the higher level, malakut is a hyperbole of mulk. It's strong kingdom. We have the king, this is the kingdom mulk. This is the kingdom of God. Then there is a stronger kingdom of God. Stronger kingdom of God. We say the angels live in malakut, okay, in the stronger kingdom. Now, it's not anything anywhere else, actually. That stronger kingdom is when it's a realm in which you see the connection of every atom to God. That's when you see the strong kingdom of God. Here you see the weak kingdom of God. Why? Because you say, okay, this is all created by God. Yeah, how was it created? Okay, God has caused all these things. The wind comes, the clouds are formed, the rain comes. It's a cause and effect sort of chain. This is mulk. In malakut, you don't see this. You see that everything, every atom is connected directly to him. He's holding it. He's holding it. He's keeping it so that it wouldn't perish. ان الله يمسك السماوات والارض ان تزولا. Allah is holding the heavens and earth so that it is not perished, it is not disintegrate. Okay, when you see this, this is malakut and this is ghayatul fahm. What we understand is surface of fahm, is shallow understanding. No matter how deep we go in our experience of the world and how deep we discuss about how God has created things, it is impossible that everything has come about by itself. This is just a shallow understanding of the relationship between God and the creation. There is a deeper understanding of it where you see the malakut. فتبارك الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء. فتبارك means blessed. He's full of blessing, full of barakah. The one in whose hand is the malakut of every single thing. That is when it's in grip of that supreme being. Now, when you see this, this is ghayatul fahm. So, yaqeen first of all rests on this, on this ghayatul fahm. This is why I say, these are the words which are very difficult to understand actually. We try to approach them, but they are not set for everyone. They are set for those people who have, of course, the same experience, and they actually approve of what these sources of knowledge of malakut would tell us. Okay, ala ghayatul fahm. Now, then when that ghayatul fahm comes, you plunge in knowledge. You plunge in knowledge. That's a different type of knowledge. That's a knowledge which is not based on theories. It's based, again, on definitive understanding of things. Now, ilm, ghamrat al-ilm. Ilm has knowledge, has immense dimensions. Now, some examples, just some examples. وَوَرَثَ سُلَيْمَانُ دَاوُودَ. Okay, Sulaiman inherited Dawood. فَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ عُلِّمْنَا مَنْطِقَ الطَّيْرِ. We have been taught the language of the birds. Wow, what knowledge is this? What knowledge is this? It was not only birds, he could hear the ants speaking, isn't it? حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَى على واد النمل قالت نملة يا أيها النمل اسكنوا يا أيها النمل اسكنوا مساكنكم لا يحطمنكم سليمان وجنوده وهم لا يشعرون. Sulaiman heard this. An ant was calling, shouting out to all the other ants that rush to your nest because Sulaiman is coming with his armies. And he could speak with birds. What type of knowledge is this? He could speak to jinn. What type of knowledge was that? Now, then he said to one of his companions, or he actually asked his companions from jinn and ins, that I want someone to bring the throne of Belghis, the queen of Sheba from Yemen, to Sham before they come to me. قال عفريت من الجن أنا آتيك به قبل أن تقوم من مقامك. An evil jinn said, because they were all subordinate to his power, an evil jinn said, I will bring it before you finish this session and you stand and to end the session. قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب. The one who had a knowledge of the book. A knowledge of the book. It was a type of knowledge, one branch of knowledge, one strand of knowledge of the book. أنا آتيك به قبل أن يرتد إليك طرفك. I'll bring it before you blink. And he did it before he blank. It was actually as soon as he finished his sentence, it was there. Now, what type of knowledge is this? Very strange. Khidr had a different strand of knowledge, isn't it? He knew how things would develop in future. This is an absolutely different strand of knowledge. Now, if you have yaqeen, what type of knowledge you get, you don't know. You don't know. It's all God who will provide you with that knowledge, with these sorts of different knowledges. And of course, above all these, beyond and above all these types of knowledge, is knowledge of God Himself. These are just sort of petty knowledge, so to speak. It's petty knowledge that I know how to do this, he knows how to do that. No. How about knowing God Himself? That's the sublime knowledge. So, when you have this ghayatul fahm, then there's a plunging into knowledge. What type of knowledge? We don't know. Is there anyone who may have the knowledge of the book? Because it says, قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ, the one who had one strand of knowledge from the book, said, I will bring it for you. Now, about some people, Quran says, قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ شَهِدًا وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ, the one who has the knowledge of the book, is my witness to my messengership, which, of course, according to Shia interpretation, this Imam Ali alayhi salam, he has ilm al-kitab. Now, it's possible. And that book is Book of Creation. Of course, Book of Creation at a different level, at the malakuti level, not at the mulki level. It's Book of Creation at the level of malakut. So, when you have this yaqeen, yaqeen follows by a sort of knowledge. That's why I said, almost none of us have yaqeen, because it, I don't know, maybe some of you have, but it follows with a type of knowledge which is not based on theories, it's not based on speculation, it's not based on hesitation, it's witnessing. So this is, Ghayat al-Fahm brings it, Ghayat al-Fahm, and then when you have that, when you are plunged, even if once you are plunged in that knowledge, then there is flowering of judgment. You can judge things rightly. Zahrat al-Hukm. And then when you can judge things rightly, then you can live with people in peace and tolerance. As God is living with people in peace and tolerance, isn't He? He's providing for everyone. He's quite tolerant with everyone. Even with the kuffar, even with the zalimun, He's quite tolerant because of the knowledge. And a man of yaqeen, or a woman of yaqeen, by man we mean human, of course, a man of yaqeen also has this helm and forbearance to live with people the way the prophets and imams lived. And this is how he explains it. فَمَنْ فَهِمَا. So the one who understands, فَسَّرَ جُمَلَ الْعِلْمِ, can explain the all knowledge, can explain all knowledge, all jumal al-ilm, it may mean all knowledge, it may mean sections of knowledge. And knowledge has, as I said, immense aspects, infinite aspects. And when Allah says, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ, no one can encompass anything of his knowledge except what he wills. Means that some aspect of his knowledge he has given to different creatures, to angels, some aspect of knowledge, to human beings, some aspect of knowledge, to fox, to dog, to horse, some aspects of knowledge. We don't know what. This is an amazing, complicated world. We really don't know. Why so many people he has created? Why so many species has he created? We don't know. Well, there are some people who know. Probably. So, وَمَنْ عَرَفَ شَرَائِعَ الْحُكْمِ حَلُمَ, and whoever knows the parts of judgment would not go extreme in their affairs and lives among the people, وَعَاشَ فِي فَالنَّاسِ, lives among the people, of course, with tolerance. Is that almost clear? Almost clear. Okay, let's move on. Any question?
Mm-hmm.
Any human being, any human being frees himself from the grip of mind and connects himself to the soul would find some knowledge, because soul is the source of knowledge. Any human. Now, that is raw knowledge. That's not molded knowledge. That's not something shaped. You don't know where it would lead you. You are just overwhelmed by it. You enjoy that sort of knowledge, but you don't know what to do with it, where to go with it, okay? Then you need guidance. But without that, you cannot make the best use of faith, religion, and without religion, you cannot make the best use of that. Is that clear? Okay, yes. Extreme in the sense that they can live in moderation, inside, in their own lives, and with the people, because they are now, their source of judgments has actually developed in the right manner, so they wouldn't go extremes. And Amir al-Mu'min has always mentioned this, that extremes are misguidance, the middle path, the moderation, is the guidance. Okay, let's move on. Now, سُؤَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ the أخلاق of موقنين. Now, we want to see what sort of أخلاق موقنين have. What sort of أخلاق? First of all, we had those four things, isn't it? You remember, توكل, رضا, تسليم, and تفويض. Those four things which are the main elements and components of yaqeen, or the result, it's the result of yaqeen actually. If you have yaqeen, it results in those four things. Then of course there are branches to that. The branches to that are سَأَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَجِبْرَائِيلَ أَنْ تَفْسِيرَ الْيَقِينَ رسول الله, peace be on him, asked Jibreel the explanation of yaqeen. He said, "Al-muqin ya'malu lillah ka'annahu yarah. Fa'in lam yakun yara Allah, fa'inna Allah yarah." The muqin. Muqin is someone who has yaqeen. The muqin worships God as if he sees him. For if he cannot see God, God can see him. Meaning that there are two levels of yaqeen, actually. And this is what the Sunni mystics, Sunni Sufis call ihsan. This is the level of ihsan. They say it is Islam, Iman, and ihsan. Now, we say there are four categories. They say there are three categories. Islam, Iman, and ihsan. Now, the four we say is Islam, Iman, taqwa, and yaqeen. And the higher parts of taqwa, and then the lower parts of yaqeen, and higher parts of yaqeen are ihsan, so to speak. Now, two levels of yaqeen. Some muqaneen worship God as if they see him. As if they see him means actually they perceive him by their hearts. As if they see him, they perceive him by their hearts. Now, there's a lower level of yaqeen is that these muqaneen cannot have that perception, because yaqeen has different levels in itself as well. However, they see in their hearts that God is watching them. God is present. Feeling the presence of God is the highest, the ultimate wish of a mu'min. And all these Sufis, using all those techniques, they want to feel the presence of God. We don't feel that presence usually. And that's it. We know he's present, but we don't experience that presence. That is something which at the level of yaqeen, it comes and it humbles you. The sign of that, that you feel the presence, it humbles you. It breaks you. You feel that you are nothing. And you are filled with his love. This is where you feel the presence of God. And then there's another higher level of that is when you perceive God. As Amirul Mu'mineen said, I never have worshipped a God that I have not seen. That's that sort of perception, that's yaqeen. Or he said, لَوْ كُشِفَ الْغِطَاءَ مَزْدَدْتُ يَقِينًا. If all the veils go away, that means if I go to Akhira, if every veil which is between us and God goes away, I would not increase in my yaqeen. What does that mean? It means that I am the ultimate. I have the ultimate position in this yaqeen. So, then that's difficult to measure. Worship God as if he sees him, and if not that, the lower is that worship God as if God sees him. وَأَنْ يَعْلَمَ يَقِينًا, and also knows for sure. Not knows theoretically. Not knows because so-and-so says it. Because I have read it in the Quran. Because I have heard it in Hadith. No. Knows by the heart. Certainly and in certainty. أَنْ يَعْلَمَ يَقِينًا أَنَّمَا أَصَابَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْدَأَهُ. He knows for sure that whatever inflicts him was not going to miss him. وَأَنَّمَا أَخْطَأَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَهُ. And what missed him was not going to reach him. These are all branches of reliance and degrees of zuhd. Now, isn't this determinism? That you know for sure what inflicts you was not going to miss you. It was written in the primordial time that you were going to be inflicted by that. And if you have earned something, if some pleasure or some wealth has come to you, you know for sure that it was written for you before that. And these are degrees of yaqeen and zuhd. And zuhd. Zuhd is abstinence or lack of desire for this world, lack of desire. Now, let's see, how can we explain this? Surah Hadid, okay? It says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسَكُمْ. No infliction inflicts in the earth or in yourself. That means in your vicinity, around you, or for yourself. إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلَ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. Before we bring it about, it is written in a book. That means before we have decreed that, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. It's easy for God to plan as such, of course. Easy for God to plan as such. And this, I tell you this, why am I telling you this? Although it confuses you, why am I telling you this? لَكَيْ لَا تَأَسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَكُمْ. So that you do not become saddened by what you lose. And do not become happy by what you gain. لَأَلَّا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَكُمْ. By what he has given you. Do not over-enjoy by what he has given you. And do not be saddened by what has inflicted you. Now, Amir al-Mu'minin said, the definition of zuhd is in these two sentences. This is why Jibreel says these are all branches of zuhd. The definition of zuhd is between these two sentences, or in these two sentences, that you do not, لَأَلَّا تَحْزَنُوا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ, you do not become sad for what you have lost, and do not become happy for what you have been given. Is this what we believe? Is this not predeterminism? Is it predeterminism? Is it not predeterminism? What is it? hmm? When you come to the level of yaqeen, the explanation and interpretation of everything changes for you. Okay? There you see everything in the hands of God. However, that does not forbid your free will, and you experience it at that level. However, you know that everything is in His hands. What a good life it is that if you have lost something, you do not have sorrow over it. If you have gained something, you do not become overexcited about it. What a tranquil life, isn't it? It's a very tranquil life, a very steady type of life that you have. Why? Because you don't care, isn't it? Not that you don't care in the sense that you are a careless person, no. Because the world is so small in your eyes. That's how God doesn't care, isn't it? A kafir takes a chunk of this world which can feed 1 million people, they monopolize it for themselves, and some people are starving. God doesn't care. Why? Why He doesn't care? Because this world is not very important. It's not very important. However, if you tell this to a person with a lower level of iman and you enforce it on them, they break. Isn't it? They break. We are analyzing, okay? They break because they cannot understand this. When you come a bit above that and you look in a sort of macro level, how God is managing the world, you will see that وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّن فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُرُرًا عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ وَزُخْرُفًا. If it was not for the fear that everyone would disbelieve, we would have given disbelievers so much that they could build their houses with gold. And they could go on the top of their roofs with golden ladders. And all gold we would have given them. However, if had we done that, everyone would have said, this is the result of disbelief, so it's good. So let's disbelieve. Okay? We haven't done this. Now, why God is saying it, saying that don't care about this world very much. This is a place to pass. What comes is important. Now, you may argue all these. However, if you argue that with one of the muqaneen, they may discuss with you, with us, at our level. However, their level would stay tranquil and without any disturbance. Their level is different. So, this is the tafsir of yaqeen. Now, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, Amir al-Mu'mineen used to say, Imam al-Sadiq says, Amir al-Mu'mineen used to say, no one would taste the taste of Iman. Here Iman, I said Iman is a generic term which could be used for all these levels. Now, and then we have to realize from the context what sort of level it is meant by Iman. Now, no one would taste the taste of Iman. This means that these things are based on experience. You have to taste them. Otherwise, you could not understand them. No one would taste the taste of Iman until they know that what inflicted them was not going to miss them. And what missed them was not going to reach them. And that the one who harms and gives benefits, harms and gives benefits, is Allah only. وَأَنَّ الظَّارَّ النَّافِعِ. The one who harms. And the one who benefits is God. No one else. So do not be afraid of anyone. Do not loathe anyone. Do not hate anyone. Because nothing is done by anyone. It's all by God. I remember once Imam Khomeini was speaking to the cabinet of Bazargan, the then prime minister. And he was very frank when he used to speak. He sometimes didn't care about the manners and such things. He said, you know, I don't believe that there is any impact by myself in this revolution. I don't think I have done anything. And I don't think you have done the least. You haven't done anything as well. Now, this was very embarrassing, isn't it? I don't believe you have done anything. And I don't believe I have done anything. I think it's all done by God. Now, this is at a higher level. Now, someone may, at a lower level, may just blame him. What does he mean? These people have tried hard, have done a lot. And when he was on the plane, maybe you have heard this, when he was on the plane to go to Tehran before the revolution, and they said that they are going to hit the plane or closing the airports and everything, the reporter asked him, "Ayatollah, what feeling you have that you are now going back to your homeland?" He said, "Nothing." Now, this was made a sort of huge criticism against Khomeini later on. Several times BBC quoted that, "Look, this man has no feelings at all." He said, "Nothing. I am going to my homeland. I have no feelings at all." Now, because he's talking at a different level. And we may not understand that level. That's very important. Sometimes we come across certain traditions which are actually pitched at a different level. And we have to understand this difference in levels. Okay. Now, other akhlaq of muqaneen. Yustadallu ala al-yaqeen. Now, what are the indicators of yaqeen? The indicators in akhlaq. The indicators in akhlaq. Yustadallu ala al-yaqeen biqisar al-amal wa ikhlas al-amal wa zuhd fi al-dunya. If you have yaqeen, then these are the indications in your akhlaq, in your attitude. The attitude would be brevity of desire. You don't have long desires, because you know that all desires for this world is in vain. You don't ever reach anywhere in this world, isn't it? No one ever reaches anywhere in this world. You may become a king, but there are many kings who have died and passed away, and they have just degenerated. There is sort of going to the peak and coming down. وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَاتُ. Whoever we give long life, we reduce him in life, isn't it? In creation. They gradually lose whatever abilities they have. There's always this cycle of going up and coming down, going up and coming, and no one reaches anywhere. So, it's brevity of desire, sincerity of actions, and lack of desire in the worldly matters, zuhd. So, I don't call zuhd abstinence. I call it lack of desire in worldly things. You don't have much desire in the world and whatever is related to the world. These are indications that one has yaqeen. If you have this, if you have these attitudes in yourself, then you can say that, yes, there is some type of yaqeen in my heart. Now, there's another hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam who says, "Hurima al-harisu khaslatayn wa lazamathu khaslatan." The greedy is deprived of two qualities and avails of two qualities. He's deprived of satisfaction, al-qana'a, and loses comfort, because it's only by satisfaction that comfort comes, not by wealth, not by size of property or size of bank account. It doesn't bring comfort. Unless you are satisfied with what you have, it doesn't matter whether it's big or small. If you are satisfied, you are happy and you have comfort. So, because they are deprived of satisfaction, they lose comfort, and is deprived of contentment and loses yaqeen. So, a muqin is never greedy. If a person is greedy, it means that there is no yaqeen. It doesn't matter. They may be quite good Muslims, practicing Muslims, okay? It doesn't matter. Practicing Muslims also have greed, isn't it? But not a person with yaqeen would have greed. greed is not compatible with yaqeen. This is another aspect of the akhlaq of muqineen. Now, this is a beautiful one, again from Khulaini in Kafi, from Mawal Baghir alayhi salam. While the Prophet was traveling in one of his journeys, he met a group of people. They greeted him, and the Prophet asked them, "What are you?" Now, the Prophet didn't ask him, "Who are you?" Because it was not important. He wanted to know whether they are mu'mineen or believers, disbelievers. That's why he said, "What are you?" They said, "We are believers, O Messenger of God." He said, "What is the truth of your iman?" Because if someone says, "I am a mu'min," and then he tries to explain the iman, you realize whether they are truthful or not truthful. It's very easy. If you have the experience of iman, someone else, when they talk about iman, you can realize whether the experience is the same or not. Now, what is the truth of your iman? They said, contentment with the decrees of God, raza. Leaving the affairs to God, tafweez. Submission to the command of God, taslim. Now, the Prophet said, now, you remember these three, isn't it? Plus the other one. These are the qualities of muqineen. The Prophet said, you are the erudite, the wise, ulama'u hukama'. Kadu an yakunu min al-hikmati anbiya. You are, your wisdom makes you almost prophets. Prophets are like this. What you are explaining are the qualities of prophets. Now, however, there are some indicators that I can realize by those indicators whether these qualities exist in you or does not exist in you or do not exist in you. If you are truthful in what you say, in contentment, in taslim, and in tafweez, if you are truthful, so do not build what you do not dwell in. This is Zuhd, isn't it, of course? Do not build what you do not, unless if you build it for others. Like Amirul Mu'min, he built lots of houses in Zurayq area in Medina, and he gave it to people, to poor people. First of all, he gave it to his relatives to live in, and then he made it a waqf on the poor people. He built houses, but not for himself. So many people who have lots of properties which they do not live in are good Muslims. I'm not telling they are not good Muslims, but they are not muqineen. Now, if you are not truthful in what you say, do not build what you do not dwell in. Do not hoard what you do not eat. And fear Allah to whom you shall return. Again, these are the akhlaq of the muqineen, which the Prophet has explained to these people, to this group of people. Now, the fruits of yaqeen. What are the fruits of yaqeen? As-sabr. Awwalu lawazim al-iqan. Patience is the first result of yaqeen. If you have yaqeen, you have patience. Of course, we say as-sabr is relation of sabr to yaqeen is like head to the body. Sabr to iman is like head to the body. Now, yaqeen would bring the real patience. Patience over whatever inflicts us. Patience over what the people do to us. Patience over the akhlaq of other people. It brings patience. Because you know whatever happens, first of all, it's written by God. And secondly, it is the blessing that God is sending to you. Al-yaqeen yuthbiru zuhd. Yaqeen would result in zuhd. The second thing, which of course we had all these in those traditions. Lack of desire. Zuhd, lack of desire in this world. No long aspirations for life. This doesn't mean that a muqin would not work for the future in this world. But he does it with a different attitude than other people do it. زهد المرء في ما يفنى على قدر يقينه بما يبقى. Lack of desire of a person in what would perish is to the extent of their yaqeen in what would persist. That's the other world. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, الرضا بمكروه القضاء من أعلى درجات الإيمان. Contentment with the adverse destiny is of the highest degrees of yaqeen. You may say, patience with the adverse destiny is understandable, isn't it? Because we say, this is the destiny, we have to have patience about it. We do not complain. We have patience because God has actually destined this for me. However, contentment, that you're happy with it, that's what we don't understand, of course. This is what the Muqinid would understand, isn't it? That you are happy with it. Why? Because if God, because God is merciful, God is wise, God is knowledgeable, God is closer to me than my jugular vein, and therefore if He has destined it, it means it's good. Like, for example, you give up yourself to a surgeon to amputate a limb, for example, if you have a very difficult illness, God forbid, you are happy with that doctor, isn't it? You are thankful to that doctor. Although the process is hard, you don't like it, but you are happy with the doctor. It's, well, he is doing a favor to me. Although he's amputating some limb, but he is doing a favor to you. Now, certainly, things which inflict us, God is doing a favor to us for that. And that brings contentment. Now, it may be a punishment, it may be a trial, a test. Both of them are good. Even the punishment is good. Because punishment would somehow bring us back on course, bring us back on track. Both of them are good. However, as long as we live in our selfish cell, we cannot understand this. We always complain. But when we come out of this selfish cell and see beyond, then of course contentment comes. Now, this is in Munajat of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, As'aluka bi karamika, certain things, and then at the end he says, wa min al yaqeen ma tahunu bihi alayya musibat al dunya wa tajlu bihi an basirati غشوات الأمى. I ask by your generosity that yaqeen by which the inflictions of life are made easy for me. So this is the result of yaqeen. The inflictions of life would become easy, and which removes the wizards of blindness from my insight. I can see things. This is another very, very important result of yaqeen. And finally, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَعَدْلِهِ from Imam al-Sadiq وَقِسْتِهِ جَعَلَ الرَّوْحَ وَالرَّاحَ فِي الْيَقِينَ وَالرِّضَى وَجَعَلَ الْحَمَّ وَالْحُسْنِ فِي الشَّكَّ وَالسَّخَطِ. God, in His justice and equity, has placed relief and comfort in yaqeen. If you are yaqeen, you always are pleased, you're always comfortable and content in yaqeen and contentment, and has placed concern and sadness in doubt and dissatisfaction. If we have worries all the time, if we are stressed, if we are always concerned, nervous, it's because of this shak and dissatisfaction, doubt and dissatisfaction. And that's why God tells us, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. We have not wronged them. They wrong themselves by keeping away from yaqeen, by separating themselves from their souls, by identifying themselves with the mind and all these silly thoughts which comes and goes without any results or without any benefits of future, of the past. By this they are wronging themselves. Instead, they could have freed themselves from all these and come back to me, connect their soul to me, and they see the relief and comfort. So if stress is there, if worries are there, if complaints, dissatisfaction, all these are there, it's because we are wronging ourselves, not God is wronging us. Now, degrees of yaqeen. There is this story in the Quran about Ibrahim that he said, قَالَ رَبِّ أَرَنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيَ الْمَوْتَى. Show me how you brings life to the dead. قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِن. He said, are you not believing? قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكَنْ لَيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. Yes, but I want my heart to become assured. Now, was Ibrahim on yaqeen before asking it, or it was not on yaqeen? Did he have that certainty that God gives life to the dead, or not? Now, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, yes, he had the yaqeen. Now, was Imam al-Riza was asked about the verse, do you not believe, awalam tu'min? When he asked about that, God said, do you not believe? قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. Yes, but in order that my heart may be at rest. And if there was doubt in Ibrahim's heart, was there doubt in Ibrahim's heart? He said, no. He had yaqeen, but his thought from Allah increased in his yaqeen. That's, of course, something quite reasonable. He asked increase in the yaqeen. Not that I know it, I'm sure that you do it, but I want to see how you do it, isn't it? أَوْ كَالَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَىٰ غَرْيَةٍ. Uzair, who passed through a village. There was a plague or something, everyone was dead. All died together, they weren't buried, and therefore all disintegrated, the bodies. Now, he was sure that Allah would give life to them, but he said, أَنَّا يُحْيَ اللَّهُ هَذَا. How? God does it. How? Now, this is a higher degree of yaqeen than knowing it. He wanted to see how it happens. And because he was one of the muqaneen, Allah said, okay, you want to see? I will show you with a little bit of punishment. Isn't it? A little bit of, I tell you what the punishment is. With a little bit of punishment, I show you. فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مَعَتَ آمِنْ ثُمَّ بَعَثَهُ. God made him die 400 years. Then he raised him. قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتُ. He said, how long you stayed? قَالَ لَبِثْتُ يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. Probably a day or part of a day. قَالَ بَلْ لَبِثْتَ مَعَتَ عَامٍ. You stayed 100 years. Now, look at your donkey. Wow! The donkey's bones. فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِكَ وَشَرَبِكَ. First of all, look at your food and drink. He had some milk and some figs or something with him. Or some, I don't know, cheese or figs or something. And said, look at your food. لَمْ يَتَسَنَّ. It's not changed. This is my power. I kept it fresh. 100 years. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ حِمَارِكَ. Now look at your donkey. It's all bones. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ الْعِظَامِ. Now, you wanted to see how I make the dead alive? Look at the bones. The bones started to move. فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ الْعِظَامِ كَيْفَ نُنْشِزُهَا ثُمَّ نَكْسُهَا لَحْوًا. There is a chemical sort of process in it. Then the meat is coming, the flesh is coming over it. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Now, what was the punishment? Do you know what was the punishment? He died of his generation, isn't it? When he was alive, when he came back to life, none of his relatives were alive anymore. So that was a bit of punishment, probably, for him asking this question, if he wanted yaqeen. Of course, these people are above that. So not for Ibrahim. He said, I want to see. And God told him, you don't need to see. I teach you, you do it. This is of course Ibrahim, isn't it? I teach you, you do it. قَالَ فَغُضْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ فَصُرْهُنَّ I like take four birds, tear them apart, mix them, and that mixed flesh, you put parts of that mixed flesh on different mountains, on 10 mountains. Then I don't give them life, you give them life. ثُمَّ دُؤُهُنَّ call them. And يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيَا they come, rushing towards you. This is just like the call which Allah gives on the Day of Judgment. يَوْمَ يَدْعُوكُمْ فَتَسْتَجِيبُونَ بِحَمْدِ The day He calls you and you respond. By praising Him, you respond, you come back to life. So, what Ibrahim wanted to know was not to remove a doubt. He wanted to increase in yaqeen. And this is in Dua Makarim Akhlaq, the 20th Dua of Sahifa Sajjadiyya. بلغ اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وبلغ بإيماني أكمل الإيمان واجعل يقيني أفضل اليقين. Oh God, greet Muhammad and his family and elevate my iman to the most perfect iman and make my yaqeen the best of all yaqeen. So among the muqineen, we have myriads of degrees among themselves. تلك الرسل فضلنا بعضهم على بعض. The messengers, we have preferred some over others. We have given some more yaqeen, some less yaqeen, some more knowledge, some less knowledge. This is how, and the strand of knowledge that some are given is quite different from the strand of knowledge that some others are given. And this is how the iman and yaqeen differs in different prophets. Now, before we go to, the merits of muqineen, we finish this as well. The merits of muqineen. Al-muqinoon wal-mukhlasoon. It's not very clear whether here it means mukhlasoon or mukhlasoon. Probably mukhlasoon to go with others. Al-muqinoon wal-mukhlasoon wal-mu'thiroon. من رجال الأعراف. Wow, this is great merit, isn't it? The people of certainty, the sincere ones, and the selfless altruists are from the people of A'raf. Who are the people of A'raf? Anyone? The people of A'raf. These three categories are from the people of A'raf. من رجال الأعراف. Now the Quran says وعلى الأعراف رجال. Now when people are grouped into two groups, people of hell and paradise, then there's a barrier between the two. There's a wall, and that wall, on the height of that wall or barrier, there are certain people. وعلى الأعراف رجال. Of course, it's not as we imagine a huge wall which parts the two. It's just told to us so that we have an imagination of that. And on top of that, those heights, A'raf means heights of barriers or whatever. On top of those heights, there are people, يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ They know everyone by the signs on their faces. They know my name, they know my past, they know level of my faith, they know whether I'm a kafir or a mu'min, they know it. وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٌ يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ And then these people talk to both sides. And eventually they give permission to people of paradise to go to paradise. They actually issue the command. ادخلوا الجنة. Now go to paradise. لا خوف عليكم ولا أنتم تحزنون. You have no fear and you never would become saddened. Now these people should be quite big people, isn't it? in the day of judgment. They are not on either side, nor on the side of people of the hell, nor on the side of people of paradise. Amazing. Do we have such people? Yeah. They are above them. They are above the boat. Well, of course, they are above the people of the hell, but above the people of paradise. And they talk. They issue permission. They guide on that day. People need guidance. And, for example, they say, قَالُوا كَمْ لَبَثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سَنِينَ. How long have we been waiting or staying? They say, they give some responses. قَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. Those who are given knowledge. They say, they enlighten them. قَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. لَقَدْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْبَعْثِ. You know what has happened? You were kept in the book of God until the day of resurrection. فَهَذَا يَوْمُ الْبَعْثِ. This is the day of resurrection. But you didn't know. Now, these people who talk, converse in this vein, they are those knowledgeable, those who are given knowledge. And these are al-muqinun, wal-mukhlisun, wal-mu'thirun. Now, are these limited, restricted to prophets and awsiyah of the prophets? Or there might be other people with such qualities, who are not imams and not prophets? Possible, isn't it? It's possible. Martyrs, some of them, yes, some of the martyrs. If they are from Muqanun al-Mukhlasun al-Mu'thirun, which, who are, of course, they are from Muqanun, Mukhlasun, Muqanun, isn't it? Anyone, Zainab salamullah alayha. Of course, Fatima is different. Fatima is Siddiqa, certainly is from Muqanun al-Mukhlasun. Now, anyone from the past nations, from Jews, Christians, from the followers of Nuh, from the followers of Ibrahim, who have this quality, would stand above the people of paradise. And of course, they go to their own paradise, which is different from the ordinary paradise. The other merits. Al-yaqeen yusul al-abda ila kull halin sani wa maqamin ajib. Now, ajib. This is very strange, the way Imam describes the merit of muqinin. Yaqeen takes the servant to every exalted state and strange positions. Strange in the sense that you cannot believe it. It's very strange where Allah would take them with that yaqeen. It's very easy. You can do it over a night by freeing yourself from all your mind and connecting to the source of creation. However, remember the hadith? Al-Iman Sabitun fil qalb. Iman is steady in the heart. Wal-Yaqeen Khataratun. Iman, for ordinary people, is like fleeting experience. It comes and goes. When you reach that state of Yaqeen, of course, it's steady. But it comes and goes until, so that you are encouraged, you are excited by it, and you try to be like that all the time. So, it can take you, Yaqeen takes the servant to every exalted state and a strange position. This is how the Prophet informed us about the tremendous status of Yaqeen. When it was mentioned to him that Isa ibn Maryam used to walk on water. And he said, if his Yaqeen increased, he would have walked in the air. So, it takes people to maqam in ajib, kull maqam, very strange things that people can do by yaqeen. What Sulaiman used to do by yaqeen, what Dawood used to do by yaqeen, isn't it? Inna sakharna jibala ma'ahu yusabbihna. We made the mountains to praise when he was praising. This is yaqeen. He tastes control of the rocks and stones around them, around him, isn't it? If he has yaqeen. So the Prophet said, لَوْ زَادَ يَقِينَهُ لَمَشَى فِي الْهَوَى. If his yaqeen increased, he could walk in the air. And Isa alayhi salam said, it's in the Bible, isn't it? if there was a speck of faith in your heart, and that faith means yaqeen. This here, context tells us, if faith here is means yaqeen. If there was a speck of faith in your heart, you could have removed mountains from their places by the power of yaqeen. And Hisham ibn Salim reports from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, I heard Imam As-Sadiq saying, إِنَّ الْعَمَلَ الدَّائِمَ الْقَلِيلِ عَلَى الْيَقِينِ أَفْضَلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ الْكَثِيرِ عَلَى غَيْرِ يَقِينٍ. Continuous little worship with yaqeen is better with God than huge worship without yaqeen. That means all these thousands of rak'at that we worship during our lives is not comparable to one rak'at. Mughaneen. That's how they are going to be acquitted, requited on the day of judgment because of their yaqeen. Okay. From that height now we plummet into the lowest Islam. Of course, we leave it for next week, inshallah. We have a few minutes for discussion. Yes. It doesn't mean that they don't have any affection. Oh, sorry. I have to repeat the question. Okay. Now, the question is that we said the people of Yaqeen do not get saddened by what they lose and not become over happy, but by what they are given. And how do we tally this with, say, for example, the reaction of the Prophet to demise of his son Ibrahim? Now, that doesn't mean that they don't have affections at all. They are human beings. They have affections. However, that affection is due to love, due to human attitude. That doesn't mean they are not content with what has happened. That the Prophet was so sad of losing Ibrahim, being discontent with the decree of God. He was quite content with the decree of God. However, just like when we cry for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, okay, we are not, of course, unhappy in the sense that we think that this shouldn't have happened at all. No, it's affection which shows itself, manifests itself. Yes? Now, moderates, it depends. Now, for example, when we talk about our attitude towards this dunya, it shouldn't be like monks and people who go and live in isolation, not to be somehow deceived by this world, okay? And it shouldn't be like the greedy people who are filled with the love of this world. It should be the moderate part that we live in this world. We use the provisions that God has given us. However, we have no greed. We have no over-happiness for what we are given. This is the moderate path. When we talk, for example, about understanding, the moderate path is that we use our rational understanding, we use traditions, we use the Quran, we put them together. We don't go to extreme saying only reason or only the Quran, only the Hadith. In every situation, politically, moderation has a different definition. In religion, it has a different definition. In all aspects, for example, moderation in worship. That if you, for example, devote yourself to worship, leaving your family, your children, your spouse, without any attention, this is ifrat. Or if you spend all your time there without giving some time to worship, this is tafreed. So moderation here means that you divide your time there. Yes. we talked about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the question is that when we talked about the seven qualities of akhlaq, of the faith had seven branches, which were qualities like sadr and birr and other things. And then people have different levels, and we have to try to lift up others and help them to come to higher levels rather than dismissing them. Then what is the position of people of yaqeen here? For example, are they not... is it not necessary for them to speak in a language that other people understand it rather than do not understand and criticize? Like, for example, the example of Ayatollah Khomeini, when he spoke, for example, on the plane that I have no feelings, people would misunderstand it because they didn't know the level of his yaqeen. This is the question, isn't it? Yes, of course. And from the example of the Prophet, the Imams, Ayatollah Khomeini, we see that they always spoke in a language which related to, we identified as ordinary believers with what they said. But sometimes it's necessary to say things so that people would understand the difference in level. Sometimes it's necessary. And the people should not rush into criticism. Certain things that the Prophet has said, for example, or something that the Quran has said, is of a higher level, is pitched at a higher level. However, it's set for others to somehow be able to find out there are higher levels and they have to strive for it. But it does not condemn. You see, for example, Ayatollah Khomeini never condemned anyone for not being the same, having the same experience, having the same feeling, never condemn anyone. But sometimes they talk about their experience. It doesn't matter. We have to realize that there are these differences in levels of faith. Yes. Should I repeat that? Yeah. What a sister said is that sometimes the people who are at a higher level, they want to lift us up by revealing to us some higher aspects of faith, some higher degrees of faith, so that we realize that there are higher levels and we try to somehow lift ourselves up to them. Yes. No, Not necessarily. Sometimes, yes, we ask him things with discontentment of what we have. Sometimes we are quite happy, quite content. But because we are human beings and we want higher, like for example, we ask for higher grades in paradise. Now, some mystics actually made this mistake. They said, we do not ask. Because as we have in Rumi, he says that I know a group of awliya whose mouths are shut of dua. Because they say, why should we ask if we are content? This is wrong because the Prophet, A'imma alayhimus salam, although they had the highest level contentment, when they looked at the generosity of God, not that, like for example, I give you something and you say, I'm quite happy with it, but could you give this to me as well? So there's nothing wrong with it. I don't think so. And in fact, it's a worship. It's a sort of connection to God, always seeing that he has more and we would like more of him. Now, that's what I said. It's not quite clear whether it's talking about mukhlasun or mukhlasun, but because it says muqanun, mu'tharun, we would probably guess that it's mukhlasun. Mukhlas, rather than mukhlas. Okay? Thank you very much.